He took it to the microtome, a knife with a revolving blade that cut very thin slices of plastic and embedded green tissue. This he inserted into the electron microscope. In principle, the electron microscope worked exactly like a light microscope, but instead of focusing light rays, it focused an electron beam. Light is focused by lenses of curved glass. Electrons are focused by magnetic fields. Stone turned down the room lights and clicked on the beam. He adjusted several dials to focus the beam. In a moment, the image came into focus, green and black on the screen. It was incredible. Jeremy Stone found himself staring at a single unit of the organism. It was a perfect six-sided hexagon, and it interlocked with other hexagons on each side. The interior of the hexagon was divided into wedges, each meeting at the precise center of the structure. The overall appearance was accurate, with a kind of mathematical precision he did not associate with life on Earth. It looked like a crystal. He decided to call Levitt in. As soon as he arrived, Levitt said,
"Well, there's one answer."
"Answer to what?" Stone said.
"How this organism functions. I've seen the results of spectrometry and amino acid analysis."
"And?"
"The organism is made of hydrogen, carbon, oxygen, and nitrogen, but it has no amino acids at all.
None.
Which means that it has no proteins as we know them and no enzymes. I was wondering how it could survive without protein-based organization. Now I know."
"The crystalline structure."
"Looks like it," Levitt said, peering at the screen.
He frowned. "Something the matter?" Stone asked. Levitt was thinking, remembering something he had forgotten. A dream about a house and a city. He thought for a moment and it began to come back to him. A house and a city. The way the house worked alone and the way it worked in a city. It all came back.
"You know," he said, "it's interesting the way this one unit interlocks with the others around it."
"You're wondering if we're seeing part of a higher organism?" Stone asked.
"Exactly. Is this unit self-sufficient like a bacterium, or is it just a block from a larger organ or a larger organism? After all, if you saw a single liver cell, could you guess what kind of organ it came from? No. And what good would one brain cell be without the rest of the brain?"
Stone stared at the screen for a long time. A rather unusual pair of analogies, because the liver can regenerate, can grow back, but the brain cannot. Levitt smiled.
"The messenger theory."
The messenger theory had come from John R. Samuels, a communications engineer. He had reviewed some theories about the way in which an alien culture might choose to contact other cultures. He argued that the most advanced concepts in communications in Earth technology were inadequate, and that the advanced cultures would find better methods.
"Let us say culture wishes to scan the universe," he said. "Let us say they wish to have a sort of coming-out party on a galactic scale to formally announce their existence. They wish to spew out information, clues to their existence in every direction. Well, what is the best way to do this? Radio? Hardly. Radio is much too slow, too expensive, and it decays too rapidly. You do not use physics to carry your message. You use biology. You create a communication system that does not diminish with distance, but rather remains as powerful a million miles away as it was at the source. In short, you devise an organism to carry your message.